Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. This week I've been talking about the role of the prophet, and in particular thinking about the ministry of Jesus, but also yesterday talking about just understanding the ministry of the prophet, both in the Old Testament and also how it was expressed in the life of Jesus. There are still prophets, and there always will be, in the body of Christ that God raises up that are distinct and have a unique role to speak to the sometimes nations, maybe to the whole world in broad ways. And that prophet is also, because they're baptized into Christ, is sharing in the priesthood, the prophetic role, and the kingly role of Jesus. Every baptized person is participating in those realities. The priestly role of offering a sacrifice of praise to God. And we participate in it in our daily prayer and making our life an offering to God, but also communally at the Eucharist. And of course, the priest is the in persona Christi. He's participating in a unique way in the priesthood of Jesus. And then a prophet. So the priest, in a unique way through his ordination, is regularly preaching and teaching and leading the people of God, participating in the call of the bishop. They're participating in his ministry, the people of God, bringing them closer and closer to God, speaking the word of God. And then kingly, in their case, governing the people of God. Families, the kingship, for example, of a father. The family's the domestic church. And mom and dad together, in their different roles, distinct roles that they have, they're exercising leadership on behalf of the king, on behalf of Jesus, and bringing the kingdom to bear in their home. So everybody in some ways connected to priest, prophet, and king. And there are, throughout history, it said, until the Lord comes again, there will be distinct prophetic voices that are raised. And one of the things that I wanted to mention in particular, taking this from Dr. Martin's book, Ralph Martin's book, my good friend, who's been on the show many times over the years, he wrote a book called Priest as Prophet, helping priests and clergy, but also just people in general, to understand that the prophetic role in our time is often diminished or not fully understood, or in some ways actually resisted to step into that role. And if you tuned in on Monday, I talked there in particular about how much of those three things, the priestly, prophet, kingly dimension of Jesus' ministries, ironically, of those three, what the people saw in Jesus, and then what the religious leaders saw in Jesus, they identified him as a prophet. Surely he's a prophet among us. You know, surely he's a prophet. And the Pharisees were scared to death of him, and they had to be careful how they treated him because all the people understood and thought Jesus was a prophet. And of course, Jesus, what came before his own ministry was John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, the forerunner who prepared the way of the Lord, calling people to repentance and making people, helping people understand the moment that was coming upon them and how to prepare for it. It's not business as usual. Jesus described himself even as a prophet. It wasn't just that other people did. After Jesus went through a lot and paid the price like a lot of the prophets did throughout history, Luke 24:24, no prophet is welcome in his native place. Luke 13:33, Jesus said, yes, yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside Jerusalem. There was just no compromise. One of the things you can see about Jesus in his prophetic role was he was 100% focused on the Father and focused on the condition of the people of God, and also capable of not only assessing where the people of God were at, but also being able to help them understand the world and the need they needed to break, the way they needed to break from the world and the habit patterns of the world inconsistent with God's purpose. Jesus was not worried about his reputation. He wasn't worried about sustaining the institution. He demanded internal and external response to what he was saying. He was totally focused on the mission. He said in Luke 19:10, he came to seek and save the lost. James 4:45, he was not a friend of the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. Friendship with the world is actually enmity with God. What does that mean? And this is something for all of us to hear and to live because we are in the body of Christ. We're united to Him, and we have been commissioned in our baptism and our confirmation by virtue of just being a disciple to participate prophetically where the Lord has called us according to our vocation. James 4:45. He was not a friend of the world. He loved the people in the world. He loved the good creation that God the Father through Him brought into being. But He's talking about the fallen dimension, the resistance that's in the world, the ego, the self-centeredness, the blindness to God and the will of God, all of that. If you're in that flow, Jesus said, you're an enemy of God. And a prophet is the one who sees it. His mind is united with the Lord, and his heart is in tune, as we said yesterday, with the heart of God. And the heart of God sends the prophet to wake people up before it's too late. Elijah, he was like Elijah. I have been most zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. Where do we see that? The zeal of Jesus when he entered the temple, the holy place. When they were buying and selling, commercial stuff going on right there in the temple. And Jesus came. He overturned the tables. He made a mess. He scared them. He took out cords and he whipped them with him and drove them out. Get out. You know, today we think, wow, that guy, there must be something wrong with him. That was the heart of God. That was the mind of God. That was the holy place and the holy people of God. Those who are baptized into Christ in the church are the temple of God. What kind of things have we brought into the temple of God? False teaching, accepting habit patterns of sin that the world has now accepted, worldviews that are inconsistent with the kingdom of God, but trying to make their way in, people bringing them into the life of the church so we can be friends with the world and being more attentive to what the world thinks rather than what God thinks. The prophets are meant to rise and to cleanse the temple when it's needed in our own home and our own family. Think about that. Again, the family's the domestic church. What kind of things are in the family, in that temple? I mean, we had in my family growing up, I shared this story, you know, we had alcoholism in the family. We had just a whole range of things. We were on the outside looked like pretty normal, but also just had things going on that were inconsistent with God's will, and by his mercy and by a response of my sister and the prayers of one of my sisters and the prayer of my mom and maybe my other sisters as well, a kind of zeal began to grow and a passion to say there's more. We need to live more like the Lord. He wants to help us. He wants to bring healing, but he also wants us to get rid of stuff that's dark and it's hurtful and it offends God, these kinds of things. So it's not just a story or a way of living and remembering what it was like. We're called today to live prophetically. Again, according to our vocation and the call that the Lord has given to us. John 2:16-17. Again, this is where Jesus is cleansing the temple. Zeal for your house will consume me. Do you not know that you're the temple of the living God? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Matthew 18, Jesus did not tolerate sin, but woe to the world because of the things that cause sin. Matthew 18:8-9, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off, pluck it out. People say, oh, it's just hyperbole. Well, what's the point? This is a prophetic message. It's better to live without one eye than to have a healthy eye and to be walking in sin. You got to root the sin out of your life. That's what we have to do. That's what prophets help us do. And one of the things I think that stands in the way might be that makes it difficult for people. Okay, we all may know or have heard of in different ways people who go overboard or who do it with the wrong kind of real genuine compassion for the people that they're speaking to. That might be an issue, but I don't think that's the main one. The main one is fear of men, I think. The fear of upsetting other people, or the fear of losing our standing or recognition, or, you know, people might think there's something weird about us. So that's a big challenge, and we'll be accountable to the Lord. So zeal for the house of God is a significant one. You know, zeal for the house of God consumes me. What is zeal? Thomas Aquinas talked about, he said, zeal arises from love of God, not hatred for people or something like that. It repels whatever is contrary to the honor or the will of God. It's not just high energy, enthusiasm, intensity, or being loud or something like that. It's just so much deeper than that. It's deep love for the holy God. And it's a spiritual energy in the sense of it's a work of the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the kind of conviction and a desire to repel, Thomas Aquinas is saying here, to repel what offends God, what's inconsistent with the will of God. It's a real gift to be able to have. And it can begin just within our own lives. Lord, give me the grace. Help me, Lord, to have the zeal to clean out my own house, my own heart, my mind. Start with me. And then those who I've been entrusted with, the environments I've been entrusted with. You think about Catholic man or Christian man who owns a business. There's some brothers or some sisters who run companies that are doing some very bad things. And people can say, well, it's just my job. It's not what I do. Da, da, da. And when you have authority, even at that level, in a company or a place that's teaching something, leading people into making things or doing things that will offend God ultimately, may lead people further away from God. I mean, the zeal of God ought to cause somebody to stand up and say something, or to change, if you have the authority to change what's there, or just shut it all down. Because no matter how much money you make or how much you can influence people in other ways, if you're offending God, at the end of the day, your efforts will be for naught. And God's judgment will come. That's what the prophet has the courage, because it's the zeal that's in his or her heart. It's zeal that is rooted in love of God the Father. Again, and the holiness of God. We got to pray for the church that God would raise up prophets. There are some. I'm going to read some tomorrow and Friday, just give some examples of really powerful prophetic voices that have been in the church and are in the church. Some that were as clear as a bell. What they said was right on. And it was God's mercy going out and people ignored it. And just what was prophesied is exactly what happened. So I hope you can join me tomorrow, friends, and bring your friends to tell your friends to join to listen to the show. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, you could listen to those Monday through today on our website at renewalministries.net. They're archived there. You can listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. Lots of good stuff there on our website that's free for the asking. And if God moves your heart to give us a little financial support on this mission, we'd love it. God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.